1 Peter 5, verses 1 through verse 4. Let's read this passage. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth in your word. We pray that you will bless it to us today, that you would speak to us, that you would open our eyes and our hearts to understand your word, not only to understand it in our head, but to apply it in our heart, that we would be scriptural in all things that we do. Help us to become more scriptural, Lord. We know that we fall short. We know that as humans, we sin. We pray that you will forgive us and cleanse us and lead us into all righteousness for the sake of Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I would title this, if I would summarize it, I would title it The Elder's Duty Under the Chief Shepherd. If you read in this passage, in verse 4, after it has spoken about feeding the flock of God, which is what a shepherd does, he feeds a flock. Then in verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. It is important for us to recognize what a shepherd is here. But in what way God puts this? He's saying, I am putting shepherds among you. The word shepherd is used in the scripture. In Ephesians, there's the word shepherd, which in the King James is translated pastor. But there's many more times in the New Testament where shepherding is mentioned. Jesus said to Peter that he should feed his sheep, that he should feed Jesus's sheep. That was his work. That was his duty, to feed Christ's sheep. That's what Jesus called him to do. But if we look at all this in the right context, in the right way, we see that they are shepherds and they are rightly called, and I think MacArthur uses this term, and it's a right term, under shepherd. Under shepherd. Because there is the chief shepherd. So it follows that there is then an under shepherd. The shepherds that are in this world are not rulers. They are not lords. They are not kings. They are shepherds. A shepherd cannot lead his sheep by going from the back. If you've read about seen how sheep are being fed in the pasture, the shepherd will go in front of them and the sheep will follow to the field where they will eat. That's the example that God uses in Scripture. Not just here, in Psalm 23 as well, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. He leads me beside the still waters. He feeds me, he leads me to where the food and the water is. Because God is the good shepherd. Now, I want to look at this piece by piece, like usual, to find out what is Peter teaching here to those that he is writing to. First of all, in verse 1, he starts with, the elders which are among you, I exhort. He is writing two different places. He's not writing only to one place. If you look in chapter 1, he says, to the believers scattered throughout, and he mentions multiple places that he is writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So he's writing to many places, and then he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So Yes, it is plural, the elders which are among you, but he is writing to many places. He's not writing only to one local congregation. I mean, still, I today believe more than when we started this assembly that there should be multiple elders in one place. That would be better than single elder. And we're praying for that, and we should continue to pray for that, that God would make it clear and prepare the person that he would have to be another elder, that there would be more than one. But I want you to notice, he says, to the elders which are among you, not just one, but multiple, in the many places that he's writing to, he is exhorting as an elder. He is saying, I also am an elder, and I'm writing to you. But then he says, who also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I think he is describing his Christian life in three different ways here. Firstly, he is saying, I am an elder. If we look at what is an elder, 1 Timothy 3 and other places, there's clear scripture showing us who can be an elder. You need to be qualified in God's qualifications to be an elder. So Peter had been qualified. He says, I am an elder. Second, he says, I am an apostle. He's not saying it directly, but he's saying he is a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, we know that Peter is an apostle, and he doesn't need to say it directly here. They all know it, but I think he's already said it at the beginning. He did in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But this is a reminder saying, I am an elder, I am an apostle because I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. You had to have that to be an apostle. And I am a Christian. Look at number 3. I am a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So he is three things that he is giving as a defense for why he can say what he is saying. He is a Christian. He is a Christian just like all the other Christians. A partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, some think that that's about the transfiguration where Jesus went with Peter and James and John on the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. There was a glory there where Jesus was all white. He was transfigured before them. Moses and Elijah were there. But I don't think that is what he is thinking of when he writes this. When he says, I am a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, I think he's just going back to the most basic thing. I am a Christian, and I am a partaker of that which is to come. I am saved. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. So I am a partaker. I am a Christian. I'm a Christian, I'm an apostle, and I'm an elder, is what Peter says. And this is how I am telling you, elders, what you are to do. You are to feed the flock of God which is among you. Some might think, even though I think it's very easy to disprove, but some might think that speaking of elders here, it's the older people in their midst. It's the older people in their midst, which is not the case. If you look at 1 Timothy 3 and the appointing of elders, it doesn't say they need to be 55 years and then you can appoint them as an elder. The qualification is not the age. Yes, the word elders is used sometimes to talk about older people, that the younger should be honoring to the elders, to the older people, is also in Scripture, yes. But in this place, he's speaking of feeding the flock, which the elders are to do, the elders which are appointed in the church, that God has picked, that God has put it on their heart, that God has prepared them for, that God has qualified them for. These elders, he says, what are they to do? They're to feed the flock of God, which is among you. Feeding the flock of God is not tickling ears. Feeding the flock of God is not listening to what would the people like to hear today. Feeding the flock of God is living in the scripture, in prayer, in meditation, and asking God, how am I to bring this passage across to the people that are in this assembly, that are in this care? To feed the flock of God is to give the truth and all of the truth without compromise. Feed the flock of God. If you feed your children, or if you feed your animals, you probably want to give them vitamins sometimes. You'll want to give them different foods that they get all the nutrients that they need. You'll give them different things based on what they need. To feed the flock of God is in a similar way, where you don't just say that we come and preach Calvinism every Sunday, or we come and only talk about that Jesus died and rose again every Sunday, or that we come and talk about something that is happening on Twitter, or that we come and talk about something that is happening in our community, in our country, or in the United States. No. To feed the flock of God is that we take a special care to what are the spiritual needs. We look at the spiritual needs of God's people. Not just in general. Yes, in general we have spiritual needs, but also specifically, what are our spiritual needs? Because he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. The flock which is among you. All these online ministries and online preachers are more focused on feeding the world, which there's a part to it that is not a problem, but feeding the flock among you means that you live among them. You know them, not just someone who listens to you, who can learn things, but to feed is there's more to it than just the basics, or there's more to it than just one thing, or more to it than just what we feel like hearing. It's all the truth of God's word. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. When Jesus in John 21 verse 15 had eaten with Peter together, he said to him, John 21 verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. And this happened three times. Jesus gave Peter this work, this ministry. He said to him, feed my lambs. And it came to the place where Peter was almost crying, and he said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And then Jesus simply replies again, then go and feed my sheep. John 21, verse 15. Let me just quickly repeat the passage here. He said to him a second time in verse 16, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked whither you would, but when you will be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He said, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Jesus made it clear to Peter, this is your work. It's very common in the world today that people will say, we're all equipped by God. We all have the Holy Spirit. We're all equipped by God to do this work. Now, the thing is, if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God. You have responsibilities as a Christian to be a witness for your Christianity. we are a witness for Christ, all of us. But Jesus specifically appointed elders who he said are to feed the sheep. It is not, oh, we can all do this because we all have the Spirit of God, because God made it where he says, some, I have called some to be elders, I have called some to be more discerning, I have called some to have more knowledge. If you read about the gifts of the Spirit, God gives them in different measures based on the needs of his people. We need to recognize that. It is not just you or me who has it all. We need each other in these things. But in this place, in 1 Peter 5, he is mentioning specifically what the elders' job is, their job description. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Let's look a little bit at this flock of God. That's what this is all about, that Peter is saying to the other elders. The whole book of 1 Peter is written to the believers, and then there's a section here he says, now I'm exhorting you elders, feed the flock of God. This is your job. But what is the flock of God among you? Well, it is the church assembly. It is the assembly that comes together as believers to worship God, and it is a place of order. It is a place of order. This flock is, in the Greek, there's the word poimnion, which is for the word flock, poimnion. And then shepherd is a similar word that, I didn't even save the exact word now, but it also has the poim in there, the shepherd. But one is the shepherd and one is the flock. It's from the same root word. It has to do about shepherding. Shepherding the sheep. There's the shepherd and then there's the sheep. There's the flock. This is not only place in Scripture where that word is used. Look in Luke 12, verse 32. What is the flock of God? Luke 12, verse 32. Jesus says, let's read in verse 31. In Luke 12, verse 31, Jesus says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, feed the flock of God, and Jesus says, fear not, little flock. He says that because the sheep need to follow someone. Paul said over and over, follow me as I follow Christ, as I follow the chief shepherd. That's what I would say to you. Follow me as I follow the chief shepherd, Christ. My responsibility is to be an example for you that you can follow. And where I'm not yet a good example, I pray that God will give me the grace to become a better example. But this little flock, Jesus says, fear not, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God loves his little flock. It is his good pleasure. Or look in Acts 20, verse 28, where Paul speaks to the Ephesians. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul speaks to the Ephesians and he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. What is this flock of God? It is the church of God. You look in verse 28, you see these terms used interchangeably. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, and then to feed the church of God. which he has purchased with his own blood. The church of God, the assembly of God, is purchased by the blood of Christ. It is precious to God. We should not take it for granted or take it in vain. We shouldn't treat church as in something that we come to that someone will give me all the things that I want. We should treat church as an assembly that God has purchased with his own blood. The way verse 28 says, take heed unto yourselves, he says to the elders in Ephesus, take heed to yourselves, elders, be watchful, pray, take heed, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. It is the responsibility of the elders to take oversight, to be an overseer to the flock which God has placed in their care, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, we could go all hyper-churchy and say that, well, God is sovereign, we are the church, and God will take care of everything. God is God. You know, that's how we can do with any topic is, oh, because God is sovereign, then we don't need to do anything. Oh, because God is sovereign over the church, then God has purchased it, then we don't need to do anything. But then we already missed the balance. He says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. We cannot just turn a blind eye to something that is wrong, to something that goes against God. We cannot just turn a blind eye and say, well, God is God. God will make sure that his church is being fed. Then for what are the elders? Why? See, God has a means. God has a means. God has a way of doing things. When he says, I have placed elders among you, I want order in the church, I want elders to make order in the church, then he says, I want them to feed the church of God, which Christ has purchased with his own blood. We cannot just split this up and say, well, because Christ purchased it, Christ will feed his church. He will, but what does he use to do that? He uses the elders, because that's how God has ordained it. It is not strange for us to think that we share the gospel because God uses means. When we share the gospel, other people can and do get saved because God uses us to share the gospel. We don't say that we are saving other people. We're the means that God uses to bring the gospel to the lost, that they can be saved. In the same way, we are the means that God uses. The elders are the means that God uses to feed the flock of God that Christ has purchased with his own blood. We should count the church, the assembling, the coming together as precious because Christ has purchased it with his own blood. He has purchased the church of God. Look at the word church, the assembly. Those who assemble together, they are the church of God. There is a broader church. When the Bible speaks about Christ and his bride, Christ and the church, there's a broader sense of the word church. All that will be with him in eternity, in that sense, are his church. But the most of the times in the New Testament where it speaks of church, it speaks of an assembly, a local coming together of believers. And that's what Christ has purchased. To all the flock which is among you, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. God has purchased his church. The people that come together, God has purchased them for himself. And God has ordained that elders feed the church of God. Back to 1 Peter 5, taking the oversight thereof. If you just wanted to take this out of context, not be careful about what the passage says, it could sound like oh, there's someone who needs to exercise control. We could go to the Hutterites or to the Barton Creek or some of Shipyard, and we could look at things that they do. Okay, you all can't control your own money. You need to come and put it in a joint account, and you need to get my permission to use your money. That would be being lords over God's flock. Or you can't go to town before you come and ask your elders for permission. And they say, what do you want to go for? Is this something that God will like? I have to think about it for a day. Yeah, but I wanted to go today. Well, you can't. I have to think about it for today. Tomorrow I will give you an answer. That would be lording over your faith. That would be wrong. Feed the flock of God is to give the truth. Feed it. Not make you eat it. Feed it. Give it. You don't usually make your cows eat. You put the feed there and they're cows, so they're hungry, so they come and eat it. They want to eat it. You also don't force the food on the flock, because if they are sheep, if they are God's sheep, they're hungry for the food. You lay it out there and the sheep come and say, I want this food. I need this food. My soul needs this food. And there's someone, God has ordained someone to put the food there so that you can come and take it. To take the oversight thereof is not to control. It is to be there as God's mouthpiece. It is to be there as, not as a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. Singular. For me personal, for you personal, for everyone personal. Jesus is our personal high priest. We come to God through Jesus Christ. But in the church, God has ordained that there are elders to feed the flock of God. Taking the oversight thereof, to take the oversight has multiple aspects. I already told you a few things that it's not. But there are some things that it is. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 17, that the elders watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You should obey them and submit yourselves, because they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. As they that must give an account. They are taking the oversight. They are watching over your souls. There also, we see in Acts chapter 6, where they decided to appoint some deacons because they said it's wrong for us to leave the Word of God in prayer and go and serve tables. And they said, look, there is elders among us who need to spend the time in the Word of God and in prayer. And so we will appoint some more who are qualified to go and serve tables. So to take the oversight is that the elders watch for souls. They give themselves to prayer and the Word of God. And they look to the order of the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. And it speaks that in the context of church. In Titus 1, verse 5, Paul says to Titus, I left you in Crete for this reason, that you should set in order the things that are wanting, that are lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed you. But after we see this, okay, what is it to feed the flock of God, take the oversight thereof? Well, then there are a few more things that tells us, that shows us what it's not. Not by constraint, but willingly. There's a contrast here. Not by constraint, but willingly. If I'm an elder just because I'm forced to be an elder, and I mean, when I grew up and someone would be voted as a preacher, there would be crying because this was for the rest of their life. And there was crying about it. Something that I have seen. Now, whatever you want to say the crying is about, but part of it was, well, now they're, for the rest of their life, they're stuck in this thing. You know, if it's actually someone actually feels like that, I don't mean that an elder won't feel like that sometimes. Why am I stuck in this place? Can't God just let me go somewhere else? Everyone will have those feelings in one point or another. But what I'm saying is, not by constraint, but willingly, is not because, someone makes me to, but willingly because God has put it on my heart that this is what I want to do. Not because it's easy or because I get something out of it myself, but because I'm serving God in the way that He has called me to. Not by constraint, not because you think you're forced or you just have to do it or others tell you that, yeah, you should do it, but willingly, because you believe this is how you serve God. This is what God wants you to do. Not by constraint, but willingly. Number two, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I think it is so easy to fall into this trap where people get a search committee to go and look for a pastor and offer him benefits, offer him money, offer him a place, offer him all these things so that he'll come and be the pastor. And I'm not saying that it is necessarily wrong in all places, but I think there is a serious danger that someone will come just simply to make a living as a pastor in that place where they can make enough money. Now, Paul said that it would be right for him to receive from those that he is serving, but he says, I am choosing to work to earn my own living. That you can't say that, it's just because we give to you that you do this to us or for us. But he said, to prevent all that, he just did a work by himself. I think it is good for a pastor to have a side, an elder, the elders, to have a job or a side job somewhat, even though, yes, they need more time for the church of God. But I think in many places it is good that they have other people that they also interact with more regularly. And it is a real danger in the world that someone starts doing this only as a job. Now, when they appointed elders, they always said, appoint elders among you. Go and look among you and appoint elders. Look for someone who is qualified and appoint elders. Yes, they came from other places to start a church, but then they said, look among you and look for elders. Look for those who are qualified, who God is calling to be an elder. Why I'm saying that is today in many places, it's so common to hire someone from somewhere else and they come and they're not even really one of us, but they just preach well. I think in God's design, God raises up elders among a group. Usually, I think that's how God does it. That's how they were appointed in the book of Acts. And Peter writing and Paul writing to Titus and Timothy is speaking about appointing elders in those places. They weren't looking for all the most smooth preachers. They were looking for those who are qualified in what 1 Timothy 3 is speaking of. And Titus also mentions qualifications. But not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. If it's someone is just in it for the money, well, this is the place where I can make my living, so I'll do my job, I'll earn my paycheck every month, and that's it. Then the ready mind is missing. What I mean with that is the person is not entirely in it. It's his job. He's making his money, and this is the things he needs to do, and this is the things that he does to earn his paycheck every month. To be of a ready mind is in contrast, where we're in it willingly, we're in it for God, we're in it because God has called us to it. Again, it doesn't mean that the flock does not owe something to the elders. The Bible speaks of that. But we need to be careful that it's not just a hired job. It's not just a hireling. Someone is just a hireling because They come for the money or whatever. We think it's a good preacher. We hire them. We tell them, we'll give them money. But do they actually have a heart for the people in this place? Or do we need to ask God to raise up someone from among us who has a heart for the people in this place? Because God has given them this heart. Again, that doesn't mean it's wrong when an elder moves someplace to be an elder there. But it's something that we need to be careful about and look at, how does God want this to be? Not for filthy lucre is a fact. We should never be an elder for the things that we can get out of it, but only for what we can do for God for it. So he mentions three contrasts. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I gave you a few examples of being lords over God's heritage. If we said that you can't spend your money unless you get the elders' permission, that would be lording over you. But being examples to the flock is, no, we live, we want to live what is right, what is godly, and be an example to you to also follow as we follow Christ. That is the shepherd's duty. Not being lords. Jesus said to his disciples, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, Matthew 20 verse 25, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24, that we don't have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Paul is saying, we don't take control over your faith. You stand by faith. You personally stand by faith. We're to be examples. This is what Paul told Timothy and Titus. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in what you speak, in your lifestyle, in your love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example to the believers. In Titus 2 verse 7, it says, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Doctrine is important. It is important that we uphold the doctrine of God in all of Scripture. And then Paul also says to the Philippians in Philippians 3 verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Be followers together of me. Be followers of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And mark them which are not walking as we walk. Mark them which are not following Christ as we follow Christ. And of course that takes discernment. How do I follow Christ? If someone else claims to be a believer but is not following Christ, well, mark them. Make sure that you don't take them as an example, but take those as an example that walk in a Christ-like way. And then he says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. He says to the elders, after he has spoken to all of them, the believers, the elders, all together, he's spoken of the many trials that will be in a Christian life. And then in chapter 5, he speaks to the elders, look, feed the flock, take the oversight, not by constraint, not for filthy lucre, not as being lords over God's heritage. And then, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. I believe one of the reasons why he says these things is, yes, as instruction, as encouragement, this is what we should do as shepherds, as elders of God's flock. But no, there will be people that accuse the elders of doing it by constraint, doing it for the money, doing it as being lords over God's heritage, doing it only for their self-interest. There will be people who say that. But look, if you do it for Christ, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. You know, if you're an elder, you know if you're doing it for God because He called you to it. Be encouraged. When the chief shepherd, who is your shepherd, the chief, when he appears, he will give you a crown of glory that fades not away. He will show that, yes, this was of God. This was of Him. Jesus said, the chief shepherd Himself said in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. In Isaiah, it already says about Jesus. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It speaks about Jesus being the perfect, gentle chief shepherd. And that's who the under-shepherds should model their ministry after, is after Jesus. When He shall appear, the end time. This makes the Christian excited, especially during trials and hard work. Look, He will appear. He will judge all things. And those who have served Him, the under-shepherds, who are God's under-shepherds, they will receive the crown of glory for the work that has been for God. And at the same time, this crown of glory will be all to the glory of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 4, verse 10, 11, it says that the elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Paul also says, henceforth, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So it's not something that we say that, oh, there will be a crown of glory only for me. No, there will be a crown of glory for the believers. But there will be rewards that will bring glory back to God. There will be rewards for the works that God has done through His people. There will be rewards that will point back to God, that will point back to Jesus Christ. When He shall appear, makes us look forward to. We live in a sinful world, in a fallen, sinful world. Without Christ, we would have no hope. We live in a world that is steeped in sin. Everywhere we look around us, sin, rebellion, fighting against God in so many ways. And yet, our hope is not in the things of this world. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and He rose again. Our faith and our trust is in Him and in what He did and not in ourselves. And so this applies to all of us. How should the elders in the church lead by example? It is for the elders and the flock to know, because we're together. We're growing, we're working together in God's kingdom. The work is to be willingly, it is to be in service to God and for God and not for ourselves. And in James 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. At the end, there will be a crown for all those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that you have salvation in Christ? Because there is no other place where it can be found. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would bless it to us, that You would use it in us and for us and for Your glory. Be with us today through this week. Give us wisdom and direction. Help us to follow you. Help us to glorify you in all that we do. Give us divine wisdom to deal with the things that are around us and going on in the church. Lord, that we would follow your way, that we would handle it biblically. Bless this church. Bless our growth personally, and also bless our growth in bringing such as should be saved, bringing such as should be a part of this to grow further in the knowledge of your word and your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us, grow us, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.